You are tuned in to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to a wonderful, exciting, riveting show. My show, what's the name of it? It's called A Fireside Chat with a Zany Mystic. And I guess you can tell by now that I'm the Zany Mystic, and my real name is Lance White. Tonight, I am thrilled to have an exciting guest with us. Her name is Alon O'Brien. There might be a little bit more of an accent grave on the Alon, but she can correct us when we get to talking. The energy and consciousness that Alon O'Brien brings to the planet is about the total, the reality of all beings opening to their highest design. Her presence elicits the experience of deep transformation in others, so that on a moment-by-moment basis, they are moved to experience total consciousness. She encapsulates oneness, holds it steady, and then introduces it vibrationally so that it becomes the literal place where each person is able to begin from. It is then that they are able to be all that they are in all time. The shifts facilitated are powerful, poignant, and profound, inciting union at the deepest level of cell and soul. So let's bring her out to the show now and welcome her tonight and say hello to Alon. How are you, Alon?
I'm great, Zany. Thanks for having me. It's a humble privilege.
Well, don't be too humble. We're here on this planet, and that certainly counts for something. This is a difficult place to be at this time, isn't it?
Well, I think we're all having a few interesting twists and turns in the transference of all that is, so...
Well, yes. Now, maybe just for a little bit of background, you could delve a little bit into your spiritual journey and some of the interesting things you've done in your travels. I know you're a deep-sea scuba diver. That you travel around the world, you've been to Peru and other countries, and maybe you could share just a little bit, and you make essences, you create special essences that are blessed, so maybe you could just talk a little bit about, where your spiritual journey began officially for you, and where it's taken you.
Oh, gosh, Zany, that would also be a zany journey. I guess I would say that my journey began from, like everyone's, from before birth. I did have the gift of being a lot more aware, a lot more conscious throughout many parts of my life than many people. It has taken me around the world. A lot of my work and sharing, my service, however you want to call it, has been about a lot of the planet herself, the grids, the activation of key points, key places, and of course the fact that we are all a part of that living, breathing organism and how we, as humanity, relate to it.
Speaking of the grids, a lot of people talk about doing grid work. It's not been my path to do that. But are the grids finally straightened out? I mean, it seems like everybody's always doing grid work, and my goodness, can't they fix those darn things?
Well, I guess what I would probably say is that in the deepest truth, that grid work is the omnipotent unfolding expression. And so it's not just like, hey, we need to have the linear connection between your phone and my phone.
Right.
Of course, that is one aspect of it.
Okay.
But there is also primordial connections, which is, I guess, very much like taking a handful of pebbles and throwing them into the pond and saying, how do we all interrelate? And then there's the final, which is probably the fact that we're all trying to understand it more, but what's being considered in terms of quantum physics, but what we call the quantum field. And that is the place where the interrelationship of all things, or the grids, if you want to put it in that framework, or lack of framework in this instance, is through space, which is absolutely beyond time and space. It's nonlinear, and it contains no history, no conditions, and it all operates from a neutral point of beingness.
Mm.
The key, I think, that most people miss, and they always say, or we all always say we're doing grid work, is we tend to consider one or the other, but in reality, the real expression of grid work is not just that those three scenarios exist in the whole, but it's our ability to traverse them, to move back and forth, to be in one and then the other and then the other, and recognize that we're actually in all three simultaneously.
Huh.
But depending on each given moment, where do we orient? What's our reality base?
That almost sounds like what you're saying is that we're multidimensional, and that it's the process of becoming aware of one aspect of our multidimensionality.
Bingo. So we can say, oh, we're doing grid work because we went from here to there, and we did a little song there, and we did a little dance there, and so we connected the grids.
Yeah.
In one frame, that's real and that's true because we're looking at a linear configuration.
Right, right.
In another moment, we may be sitting there in our living room and going, well, nothing happened today. Nothing has any meaning. And in that nothing, in the quantum field, all is and all is interrelated. So we did a huge amount of work by just sitting there and doing nothing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And then in the third frame, we might say, oh, we had all these synchronicities happen. So that was really a happening deal because
yeah.
they all happened and
yeah.
they all related without us expecting. All three are important and all three are constantly going on at the same time.
Okay. Now, many people that are on the show talk about the Earth ascending or changing vibrationally, that she is moving in an upward or upward density, and that this is the period of time, the window that we're in, it represents that period of time when that occurs. Does that map over your experiences, or do you see it a different way?
Well, first of all, I want to applaud you for the reference of she, because I guess that is a component that, especially from our societal programming in our most recent years, that there's a transition just in that alone, the fact that Earth is being regarded as a she, as a feminine consciousness, and an awareness that is, well, if you call it ascending, there's an awareness of who she is, how she feels, that has been expanding very much in relationship with us as humans, how we witness her.
Uh-huh.
Now, beyond that, there are expressions that we defined as multidimensional, and when we start to look at the Earth in her inner core, it's a whole different set of rules. As a matter of fact, that which we define as consciousness and how it works changes dramatically when we look at the potential possibilities of what Earth is and what that energetic, that frequency, that vibration is in her innermost core.
Mm.
For example, we could say on the surface of the Earth, water does not run uphill. In the innermost core, it's a very, very, very normal thing for water to actually run uphill based on different pockets of air, of pressure, and of salt. So some of the things that we say, absolutely, this is not the way it can be on the surface, all of those rules are totally changed. They're turned upside down. And there are different potentials, different possibilities when we start looking at the Earth as the whole, as the wholeness of beingness. And similarly for ourselves, as we mirror that or witness that and look back at that, we find ourselves being challenged to consider things in different forms, in different expressions than any of the rules ever sort of said, this is how we play. There are new potentials, new possibilities, as soon as we break down the old doorways.
Hmm. Well, that makes sense. And, of course, we do have a lot of beliefs about things which limit us, and that's a very long process, it seems, to be able to shed some of those beliefs so that we can, you know, go back to a clean slate and, you know, be in the now, be closer to the now than we usually are. And also, the as I understand it, the entire field around the Earth, the cosmos is all going, how do I say this, is all experiencing a similar process of some kind of cosmic shift. So it's not just the Earth that this is occurring to, it's all of the planets within our solar system, it's the solar system itself, it's the galaxy, it's probably all galaxies. And so if you look at it from that viewpoint, it's pretty mind-blowing.
Zaini, there's a lot of beliefs that, and I actually subscribe to some of these myself personally, but that say that the reference point in terms of the multidimensional cosmos, all that is, all that surrounds the Earth, is basically the Earth is sitting in a kingpin position. And what is happening here at this particular point in time is going to have a direct relationship or reflection on the rest of the cosmos. And that is why we're under the microscope, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there is so much attention on Earth. And that is why we as humanity are being asked to embrace not just the truth of our humanness, but also our multidimensional beingness, because in our wholeness, as we move to that place, we then have a direct relationship and are relating and interrelating on the all that is, everything around us, everything
mm-hmm.
that we look out on, all those, you know, those beautiful stars and a million others that we can't see. There is a direct relationship happening right now that many are believing that the Earth is sitting in this kingpin position. So our own personal being multidimensional beings, our own personal relationship and our own personal evolution, and I'm going to call it evolution because it is about moving forward. It's about taking all that is and all that has been, but moving it into a greater expression of wholeness has a direct relationship on the isness of all.
Now, what about the idea that, you know, that presently it seems that we're living in a in a world in which the game board has been tilted in the favor of, let's just say, our negative polarity. We're it seems like we're absorbing or releasing quite a bit of negative polarity at the moment, that it's probably not the way it's supposed to be.
did you notice that yesterday? I guess my comment, Zany, in respect to that is what actually we're seeing is, firstly, I want to say we are the truth that we've all been waiting for.
Uh-huh.
And we are the ones that we've all been looking to, not like tomorrow, not the new children that are about to be birthed. It's like that which we have walked, that which we have traversed, and that which we are as a truth, we have brought forward to be present in this now.
Mm-hmm.
And that which is, as you say, like this negative energetic that is, you know, so clear, in many ways, all it is that it's take the big soup, the big cosmic soup, and the soup has gotten stirred. We're at, like, you know, the critical stirring, boiling pot on the stove point.
Uh-huh.
And what's happening is the fat is rising. And so, you know, at one point or another, it's not to say that none of these energies, entities, expressions weren't always present. They always were.
Yeah.
But in the perfection of all that is, they're being brought to our conscious awareness. Why now? Because we're capable now. We're capable of handling them. We're capable of having a level of non-judgment, of sense of self, of integrousness, and of wholeness that allows us to be present with it, recognize it, and I can't even say transmute it, because sometimes it takes going to the depth of it.
Uh-huh.
But walk through it in a physical sense so that evolutionary change can be made manifest. Now, we can't just frequency that away. We can't just, like, kumbaya that away, although we all like to do that every once in a while.
Right.
But it does take us going to the depths of whatever physical experience that looks like good old Helen. You know, Helen back, we become
yeah,
close personal friends on occasions.
Oh, yeah.
Intimate. You know, we become intimate with Helen, and we walk with her, and as we walk, there is an evolutionary change that is being made manifest. Now, that can't be done without full consciousness. We can't just say, oh, we heard about that, and it's not there anymore, because that does not change the physical evolutionary pattern. In order to change it, you walk it, you talk it, you live it, you breathe it, you take it through you, and then it changes.
Now, that kind of brings up another question that is, I think, puzzling for some, is the, how does one go about that process of changing consciousness? Because that seems to be, we can change a lot of different things about ourselves, but that seems to be one thing that's pretty subjective. And it's not as easy as it might sound. A lot of people probably have a very high opinion of how conscious they are, but according to, you know, some of the old teachers, Gurdjieff was one of them, Ouspensky another, we're born partially conscious, and it's our job to finish the process of becoming fully conscious. And that's a lifelong or multiple lives long task. So how does one hold on to or create a higher consciousness within?
Well, you know, what you say is absolutely correct. And there are those that say that, you know, if we were complete, we wouldn't be here.
Right.
I think one of the biggest things that each of us personally can consider is it's like the fact that we are all and nothing simultaneously. So in terms of like where do we start? First of all, I know right now the one of the keys for this planet, for this race as humans, is to quite frankly surrender the mind. And
right.
They say in Tibetan dogma that, you know, like trying to stop or harness the mind is like trying to stop a team of runaway horses.
Yes, right, right.
In a sense, it's true. We have to take the element of the horse and recognize it as an exchange of power for love. We always have used like that concept with horse and power and the mind and brilliancy and if we can start to take that concept of power and substitute in whatever context we're defining it, in whatever sentence, substitute the word love,
uh-huh.
we know that we're starting to make some headway.
Oh, yes. Good point. Good
so
point.
This concept of, like, surrendering the mind, because we're always, especially recently, we are so ego-bound, we want to go, but why and what for? And in that expression of the quantum field, where all is connected, because it is, whether we are mindful or aware of it or heart-filled with it or not, it still is.
Right, right.
You know, we, in that place, there is no why. There is no history. There is only each moment. So when we get off our spiritual ego bandwagon to say, but I'm not doing this unless it makes sense this way, and we start to embrace the moment because and recognize that in the next moment, maybe we'll know another piece, but we can't know if we're operating within the omnipotent. We cannot know beforehand why. That's akin to human goals and objectives as opposed to the divine totality of truth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And our capacity to be and to, in each moment, just say, okay, maybe I don't know why, maybe I don't even know how or what this is meaning, but I'm here, I'm present, I've shown up, by the mere fact that I'm here, and I'm going to take a breath, and I'm going to allow, without expectations, without pondering, if I do this, will I get that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm just going to be gracious. I'm going to say, I've shown up, so show me, in concert with the whole that is, and that point which is within me, show me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense, too, and it also relates to living in the flow. And if when, for instance, I'll have days sometimes when I let go of my expectations about what I'm going to do, and I just go with whatever is next. Whatever the universe rolls my direction, then that's it might start with being hungry. And then it's about feeding myself, and then something else comes along, then, well, maybe I'll go to the store, and then something branches off of that, and sometimes it's like a little magical mystery tour, you know, of synchronicities. I was just in the car a couple of days ago and wondering, gee, why am I out in all this traffic? This is terrible. And I just happened to glance at the clock, and it said 11:11. And it was like, oh, okay, I'm in the right place at the right time. So thank you for pointing that out. You know, the
and
little things like that give me clues of synchronicity.
And so often in those same moments, those moments which we would judge as negative, we would go, why did this happen? This sucks.
Right, right.
And a day later, a week later, maybe sometimes a month or maybe even sometimes a year later, we will recognize the profundity of us as souls having traversed that moment which seemed like it was difficult, like it was painful, like it was something was against us that we didn't even, we couldn't understand or we couldn't define.
Mm-hmm.
And it may take that long. It's often been shared, and I totally agree with this, is that the bigger the expression that we are immersed in as a unfolding of the divine, the less we're going to know. So what that means is that we may be going through like 1 month, 2 months, even years of intimate relationships with good old Helen back.
And then
later, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we will recognize that that was a doorway because many, many, many other people are following in our path, are following like, you know, the cosmic cookie crumb trail.
Right.
And there are reasons why we've traversed what seemed to have been such a great difficulty, but is bringing a whole other level of conscious awareness to not only ourselves, but the planet as a whole.
Uh-huh. And often we're not aware of the extent to which we are affecting and empowering others, because it's something that occurs on the invisible levels that we are not generally conscious of. Wouldn't you say that?
Very, very true. And and you know, we're constantly told, don't take it personal, right?
Right.
Don't make anything personal. But we're going, but hang on, it's us, it's me. But, you know, you and I have shared in a number of conversations seemingly totally insignificant details, and all of a sudden they're huge global awarenesses.
Yeah.
That it's like, oh my goodness, this is happening, that's happening. And at that time, it just seemed like a gross inconvenience.
Yeah. One thing that I thought might be a good idea to mention is the seeming increasing pressure that we're all going through at this time. I know some people follow the Mount Mayan calendar energy shifts. We're moving from the sixth day into the sixth night, I believe, in November, and that's coming up right around the corner. And it seems that there may be that the Ferris wheel that we're on is spinning a lot faster than it was, and some people are having trouble holding on. Have you noticed that at all in your life and the people that you're meeting?
Well, there's no question that everything has speeded up, and in concert with that, you know, many people are waiting for, you know, this and looking forward to, like, what's going to happen in the 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And as you accurately pointed out, we are, in many ways, if we are thinking that we are evolved enough to be moving and connected and conscious, that we are in the quantum field right here, right now. The quantum field has no time and no space and no history. So 2012 is right now.
All right.
The changes that we're looking forward to on the one hand are what we are affecting in each moment, in each breath, right here, right now.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that means a reordering of all that is. And that we, in our own unique expressions, our own points of wholeness, have and are having a direct effect on it, on all of that, in each moment. It also means that we are consciously being called upon to witness, to reflect back as to how we want to see that look. as opposed to just taking, oh, let's wait and see what happens. If we are assuming our co-creative capacity, then that onus right now is on us instead of saying, well, what's going to happen? What do you think? Saying, well, what do you want to see happen? How do we want to see it happen? What does it look like? What is the change that we've been waiting for? And how do we, in our here and now, personally and responsibly, make that happen?
Mm-hmm.
How do we see it happening? How do we reflect it back into our environment, our life, and our love?
And for me, I try to continually go beyond whatever it is that I've created. In other words, if I have some kind of vision for the future, that field of possibilities, I try to continue to expand that beyond my ability to comprehend it. You know, because I think that we do ourselves a disservice when we limit ourselves. And then so many people, too, want to apply what they think or want to have happen to everyone else. And I don't think that it works like that.
You're very, very real and accurate. I mean, all of the pieces that have come out in terms of, like, okay, manifest your reality and all of that, that's like step one. It's kindergarten one.
Right.
And then you get to the point where you recognize that as a point of divinity, we have access, yes, to co-create with limitlessness. And the gift and the challenge is to co-create with the limitless expression of omnipotence, meaning we don't need to know what that is. We just know that we are co-creating it.
Right.
And, and doing it from a divine perspective. So there are underlying goals and foundations that we've been taught, like, not my will, thy will. And when we surrender that, I mean, it's not just, oh, we want to give away our ego or our humanness. We want to recognize that we are simultaneously all and nothing at the same time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the way you defined it is accurate. Yes, absolutely, to embrace the ongoing evolutionary expression that we are all, we're all responsible for.
Mm-hmm.
We all came here for this reason. We all have a piece to share and to offer and a component that is, it's limitless, and no one else can do the same piece that we're doing. In concert with that, it's to hold that from a place of emptiness and say, but it doesn't have to look like this. It you know, like this predefined goal, objective. If it doesn't look exactly like that, if it is, it's coming from human goals and objectives as opposed to divine co-creation.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. Are you interested in sharing any of your experiences in your travels or in your scuba diving experiences? I know you've been to Peru and some other interesting places to visit. Does any of that interest you to share with the listeners?
I think, you know, one of the keys which firstly, you know, some of the gifts from nature that I've been given, all of them are their divine gifts. And a lot of them have come from places deep in the earth, like hundreds of feet down, where human consciousness does not exist. The true core of consciousness there is nature and only nature, you know,
uh-huh.
to visit for a moment or a couple breaths. I think if I was to try to summarize what all of that means in, you know, because each one of them is basically a miracle in itself. Each one of them, the way they've been gifted, is, you know, like a two-hour-long story in itself.
Okay.
But what I would say is that there are expressions of nature that I can't say that humanity has forgotten, because we are a part of it. But there are expressions of nature that are so pure, they correlate to those absolute pure parts of self, of our greater self, that have never left us, that we're in the process of remembering.
Hmm, I like that.
And that is our, those are the pieces that are here to trigger our remembrance of soul, of wholeness, of who we are in the truest expression, beyond societal programs, thoughts, beliefs, genetic patterns, all of that. And those parts of nature are, they're around us every day. There are definitely factors and forces which we as humanity have even participated in that are, they're confusing that. They're creating a distortion level so that more and more we're finding it difficult as humanity, at least in this moment, that's our challenge and our opportunity,
mm-hmm.
but to access that. But like I say, you know, our greatest challenges are also our greatest opportunities. And, you know, some of the synthetic nature of molecular structures that we're creating is, it's taking us further and further away from the truth of who we are, who a flower is, who a piece of seaweed in the depths of the ocean and its interrelationship with a piece of coral that
mm-hmm.
has been there for eons. That, those are the relationships that I think we need to strive to remember. We
mm-hmm.
need to strive to come into a place of conscious awareness to start to open to, because as we open to, we're going to remember ourselves. We're going to remember our own deeper truth
mm-hmm.
beyond any of what we've been told we are, beyond, oh, it has to look like this and you have to do that because that's what everybody's done before. They're going to trigger our real co-creative capacities as to why we all came to Earth at this time, why the rest of the galaxy is looking on Earth and saying, you know, okay, what are they doing? Because it's going to impact us all. I think, you know, these are the treasures. These are the keys that are so forgotten right now, but
mm-hmm.
are so simple and are screaming and waiting for redefinition to be brought to awareness again.
I totally agree with you, and it seems that we're, you know, under such a dense blanket of fog and denial and attachments to materialistic comforts and habits and gadgets and so on and so forth, that we've literally become slaves to our own desires. And it's going to take some major shifting around to really force us. And I think that there are going to be some major shifts in the very near future before the end of this year is up that will, you know, probably rock most of the world. And I don't know what the nature of that might be, but I, you know, I have some ideas about what it could be. And it's time. It's time for us to awaken. It's time for us to begin going within and shed some of this falseness that keeps us mired in the illusion. One of the things that I was wondering about you that I thought might be fun to talk about, since you do scuba diving, and I've always thought that would be just a wonderful experience. I've only snorkeled in Mexico, But have you ever communicated with the dolphins and the whales? And what is that experience like?
For years I have. And,
oh, okay.
And as a matter of fact, you know, I would say they were some of my original teachers in this lifetime. The humpback whales and the dolphins. And mm-hmm. I've had the pleasure of facilitating a lot of trips, in Hawaii and also in Bimini, to take people to swim with the dolphins in the wild, again, it being their choice, and also in the Dominican Republic, where, again, a certain number of small number boats have been given licensing, and you can actually be in the water with the humpback whales.
Wow.
And a lot of my work has I've been privileged to be in association with these tremendous, tremendous beings. You know, they are absolutely extraordinary. Their consciousness, I mean, we have been so limited in terms of our understanding of them. I mean, it's like trying to take Einstein, some of our tests with the dolphins, that it's been like taking Einstein and trying to say, okay, now we're going to teach you how to play blocks. but there's, you know, in their innermost expression, there are levels, they represent levels of freedom. And, of course, with the whales, the Akashic Records, the wisdom of who we are, not just as we think we are, but exactly as I was defining in our truth of beingness, and the planet, you know, the planet herself, our interrelationship with her as a being, as someone that we love, that we co-create with. We don't just say, oh, let's just dump all our negative energy into the earth and she'll take it. Like, when do we get over that concept? Like, stop with that.
Deal
with your own crap, you know.
Right.
And I, you know, I do know that many, many, many of your listeners are the road-weary warriors who have given and continue to give and need to be acknowledged and are taking a huge, huge hit because of their sensitivity.
Yeah.
You know, we strive to be attuned, we strive to be aware. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, that just, like, knocked you there, and, oh, that made you sensitive to that. I mean, that means that we have to be sensitive to all of it, not just, oh, we want to lock ourselves up in the room and say, oh, we only want the nice, fuzzy, fluffy stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, I pay honor and acknowledgement to many, many beings in your audience who are road weary and have been knocked about and are continuing to be knocked about by, in many ways, unknown assailants, unknown energetics. Like, where did that come from? Like, what's in that chemtrail? What's in that carpet? I mean, it's really the above and below. And so how do we, as sensitive, make sense of all this? How do we take this and recognize, in its most difficult expression, we're here to bring consciousness to it? And that's, I think that's precisely it, Zany. I mean, we cannot just close our eyes and put our hands over our ears and say, baby kittens, and all is good and all is well. You know, we're walking through and we're bringing consciousness to that which needs to be changed, that which needs to be evolved.
Yeah.
Unless we witness it, we can't even define the possibility that there's a potential for change.
Well, it does sometimes feel like walking on a bed of hot coals lately. And I'm sure that there are a lot of people who can relate to that right now. You know, you could point to a zillion and one reasons why, including astrological alignments and vibrational shifts and the world being as crazy and nutty as it is. But whatever the reasons, this does seem to be a particularly difficult time. But I think we're passing into... I think we'll be passing into a slightly easier zone shortly, because I think we've been hit pretty hard. And, you know, the people who are extra sensitive and empathic and intuitive and so on and so forth are, I think we're learning how to deal with this a little bit better now.
Well, there's, you know, and there's always a place where in each moment we can remember that we have the capacity to collapse our field and be back in the truth of who we are individually. And by being in that truth, that doesn't make it all easy and fresh air and sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to remember that we are, our greatest power is knowing our total journey. And in that knowingness, we have accumulated, we have acquired, we have walked an element of trust and faith. And that trust and faith, even though we can't in this moment go, but why, and answer that question, because we're floundering.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the keys. Those are the very things that we've been in training for lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
Not just like, you know, between age 10 and 40, for lifetimes.
Right.
So, you know, there's often it's often said, like, pay attention to what is really little, because it's the little things that are most significant, and it's the big things that are most insignificant.
Mm.
And historically, if you look at your own patterns and your own cycles, you'll know that to be true.
Mm-hmm.
You'll know that it was the time when you thought you were under the most pressure that right after the greatest change, the greatest epiphanies came to pass and were
mm-hmm.
physicalized.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yep.
Yeah, and I agree
little,
with that.
The little things that we're going, oh my gosh, this is, you know, and that we're likely to miss. But, you know, as we witness one another in our truth, in our beingness, you know, hopefully we can help each other pay attention. We can witness for each other the insignificance that we would say, oh, we've just been bombarded. But we can point out for each other, yeah, but look what just happened there. Look how they smiled at you. And do you know that? Do you see what that meant? Do you see how that changed? Those are the things that are most important right now.
Mm-hmm.
And in our moments of overwhelm, if we can't, in our own persona, remember those pieces, we can do it by looking into each other's eyes and into each other's hearts, and we can remember for each other.
Yes, that's true. That's true. That's true. And it's also amazing to find more and more people such as yourself and, you know, the people that are listening to this show, I know, have had this experience of discovering more and more people who are so similar and resonant at the soul level that understand what we're talking about, you know. And maybe 5 or 10 years ago, that wasn't the way it was. You know, it was difficult to find somebody that you could actually relate to. And now there are just people all over the world that are, you know, opening up their hearts and creating some beautiful manifestations to help other human beings and setting an example. And it's really quite refreshing to see that happening. So that's something important to keep in mind, too. It's not all, you know, bad stuff going on, and it's not all conspiracy theories and, you know, horrors and disasters. In fact, we haven't had too many recently, have we?
We have, haven't. And it's, again, with, you know, honor and acknowledgement to each of our own individual capacity of creatorship, it's like, where do you want to hold your attention? Do you want to hold your attention in terms of, well, what's going to happen, and i.e., wait and be the victim of what's going to happen to us?
Right.
Or do we, as our own unique expressions, be it small or large, want to say, so how can we begin our day? Can we acknowledge this day with love, with joy, with peace, with gratitude, even if it's just to look down and be grateful for our beloved four-legged who's right beside us, and or the tree that's moving outside our window, or, you know, the breeze.
Breeze, yeah, I love the breeze.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite
stars
things.
Stars and moon.
And
in that moment of gratitude and shared expression of creatorship, that, if we hold our focus in that moment, how much further does that go than the place of going, well, we need to turn on the TV and see what's going to happen.
Right.
Or what's been done wrong now.
Right.
You know, it's our choice as to where we want to hold our creative focus and attention.
Yes, that's. I'm glad you've said that, because most of what's going on the television is not only mainly designed to rope us in to buy stuff, because that's the way it's been since we were born, and we're just so conditioned to it now that we just basically become like automatons, but it's also duality-based. There's this cause versus that cause. There's this one versus that one, and this one saying this about that. And that's all duality. And as I see it, we are actually transcending and moving out of duality and polarity. And we can live from that place without having to, you know, fall to any side of an argument or any part of the duality that's going on out there. It just requires, as you said, focusing on the other possibilities that are outside of the scope of black and white.
We can, you know, in the field, in the quantum field, all is in neutral.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
we can practice that. I mean, mm-hmm. we can watch and witness anything and everything. And the more we can remember, because it is a part of us, that place of neutrality
mm-hmm.
and allowance, acceptance, and appreciation.
Mm-hmm. And non-judgment.
Then we're holding unconditional love.
Yeah, yeah.
But all three have to be present. You know, you can't just say, okay, well, we're going to allow it, but we really don't accept it.
Right.
All three, allowance, acceptance, and appreciation, you know, I've all three are there when you have unconditional love. And the capacity for absolute presence and lack of judgment simultaneously, again, it's another capacity of unconditional love. My dog practices it so well.
Mine too. And, you know, I just wanted to tag on to what you're saying, that one of the lessons that I've been having recently is that one of the most important aspects of unconditional love is towards oneself. And that when we do something that falls short of what we think we should be, quote-unquote, doing, it's really crucial and vital to just immediately accept what happened, forgive yourself, move forward, and, you know, if it happens again, it happens again. But we forgive ourselves and try to move out of judgment of our own behavior, because that's the quickest way to step out of the stickiness of our own judgments on ourselves, and that's really important.
I think, you know, like we were saying, Zane, is that sometimes we can, in hindsight, recognize that that moment which we so supposedly, you know, fell short in our own mind, again, maybe a week, maybe a year, maybe a certain period of time down the road, recognize that we played that for a particular reason, and bring forward a different level of consciousness to, let's just say, a whole other group of people. And without us having that willingness to move in that place, you know, a certain level of wholeness would have been lost.
Right.
We tend to judge ourselves going, oh, it has to look like this, or we have to look like that, and if we've done this, then we should never, ever go back, or we can never, ever fall short of that. And, you know, that is not how creation works. Creation works with spirals and nonlinear expressions. So we may be in one moment, and then we may be in what, from a linear perspective, five steps backwards in the next moment. But none of that in an interrelationship in quantum energetics is even relevant. They're all just points of reality, all that need to be embraced.
And I'm going to segue into the spiral right out of this show right away, because we're out of time. We just spiraled through about 55 minutes, so I wanted to thank you for being on the show. And if you'd like to mention your email address so people can reach you for any reason whatsoever, that would be fine.
Yeah, that'd be great, Zany. It's Elan O'Brien, E-L-A-N. O-B-R-I-E-N at AOL.com.
Wonderful. And, Elan, I just want to thank you so much for being on the show and for bringing so much to all of us and for sharing your experience, strength, and hope.
Thanks, Zany. I've so enjoyed being with you.
Oh, wonderful. All right. Well, good night, Elan. Good night, listeners. And stay tuned, of course, for Jim Gilliland. I'm sure he's always got something fascinating to share with the audience.